This is Novel Marketing, the show for novelists who aren't necessarily fond of marketing, but still want to become best-selling authors.
Thomas, we have broken through the 100 episode barrier. We have done 101, and now we are streaming toward episode 102.
Pretty exciting. Thanks to all of you who stuck around with us so long. We've enjoyed talking about marketing, and it is customary amongst podcasts somewhere around 100, episode 100, to do a meta podcast. That is a podcast about podcasting. So that is what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. So it's almost an unwritten rule. It's like a requirement, right, Thomas?
Pretty much. Not every podcast does this, but it's very common. And this is particularly relevant to me right now because I'm actually in the process of starting a new podcast on my own. So for those of you who don't know, I now have my own radio show. I have a talk radio show where I talk about news and politics and current events for 2 hours every day on actual terrestrial radio. And what we're planning to do is to
terrestrial.
Take...
You got to explain that. You got to.
So there's the antennas.
People can actually tune in to a radio station and hear you.
That's right. There's these antennas that stick up out of the ground, and people have these devices installed on their cars, and they can listen to the antennas.
What are those devices? Is that that radio thing?
Yes. And there's two rival technologies, AM and FM, and we're on AM, which is the more talk radio-ish of the technologies. But anyway, the plan is to take the best segment or the most popular or most interesting segment each day and put it out as a podcast. So I'm revisiting my own self, all of the podcast decisions we made when we started doing the Novel Marketing Podcast almost 5 years ago.
Okay, and one thing we have to say real quick here is for those of you who are saying, I don't live in Austin. How am I going to tune in? There's this technology called the internet where you can actually tune in and you can hear Thomas daily. Right,
that's
Thomas?
Right. If you want to listen live, you can listen live on our website, thebridge1120.com. We'll also put a link in the show notes at novelmarketing.com/102. And we'll also have links once I get that podcast up and running, which may be by the time you hear this. Once this is posted, that other podcast should be live. I'll have a link to it as well. It'll be running through thomasumstadt.com.
Okay, before those of you who are saying, I'm never going to do a podcast and you've already turned off this episode, let's dive into immediately why developing and doing a podcast for you as a novelist is an excellent idea, or even our nonfiction listeners, why this is a really good idea. So Thomas, hit us with the first reason doing a podcast, developing a podcast can be very beneficial to your career.
So podcasting creates a very strong emotional connection with your listeners of the podcast. And the reason is because they hear your voice in their head, whether that's while they're working out or while they're driving, while they're doing dishes. And that is it's a one-on-one connection. So typically podcasts are consumed alone. It's not something that you do in a group, and it's a very private experience. One of the challenges with getting a podcast to spread is that people often don't talk about the podcast that they listen to. So you may have been listening to this podcast for years and not told another soul, which is okay. We appreciate that you listen. But if you want to tell people, we appreciate that too. But the reality is that part of that emotional connection is that people, once they subscribe to a podcast, they tend to stay subscribed. So while they may only read your blog for a couple of minutes, they may listen to your podcast for 10 minutes, 20 minutes or more, and be subscribed for years and years.
Some of you know that I started out, my career started in radio years and years ago, and the program director taught us, those of us who are on the air, you are not talking to an audience. You are talking to one person, and they would even suggest putting a little photo in the booth, and we would just be talking to that person. It's a one-on-one conversation, like Thomas just said. And so consequently, it becomes a one-on-one connection, and they want that one-on-one connection to continue.
That's right. Also, podcasting is one of the fastest growing segments of media. So while it's hard to break in things like blogging and social media, because those are already pretty saturated, there are more and more people kind of being exposed to podcasting, and there are more and more blockbuster podcasts coming out. In fact, there's a major sitcom on ABC coming out this fall, all about a guy who's running a podcasting company. So,
is that right? I didn't know that. That's
the name of the
see.
So what's fun is that I've actually followed that podcasting company from its very inception. So it's
what do
Alex,
you mean? So it's based. It's going to be based on a real.
It's based on a true story. So Gimlet Media is my very favorite podcasting company. They have really cool podcasts, and their very first podcast is so meta. It's called Startup, and it's a podcast about starting a business. Specifically that does podcasting.
I love it.
And so anyway, it was an incredibly successful show and podcast show. And now they're making a TV show on full on regular TV about it. And so this is your chance. You're hearing this episode before that show goes live. And I imagine once people start watching that TV show, there's going to be a whole flood of new podcast listeners. Of people are like, what is a podcast? I want to get in on this and listen to these podcasts. And so this is a really good time to start a podcast if you're trying to grow your platform.
The final thing is it doesn't float down what I like to call the social media stream or river. In other words, there's some friends of mine who are brilliant at posting on Facebook, but really that post is gone. Whereas a blog post or a podcast episode lives for years and years and years. We have new listeners all the time that come and go, oh my gosh, I just discovered you guys. And I've just binged from episode one all the way up to the current. And so something Thomas and I did 5 years ago is still getting us cachet. So think about it as an investment that will continue to pay returns as long as you continue to have those episodes up.
And it gives your readers a chance to really get to know you in a more personal way. So get to know the true you rather than just like your witty banter or the version that you put out on social media. So let's talk a little bit about what a podcast is. Because I have found, particularly with baby boomers, they use the term often very incorrectly. Anytime there's audio on the internet, they use the term podcast. It's like, oh, there's a play button on a website. That must be a podcast for audio. And that's actually not true. You can embed audio on a website without it being a podcast. What makes a podcast special is the fact that somebody with an app on their phone can subscribe to get future episodes delivered automatically.
And not just on their phone, they can subscribe and it will come to your inbox, this kind of thing. But it, like Thomas says, it's a subscription where people can consistently get your content.
And this subscribing goes all the way back to the beginning of podcasts, before even smartphones happened. So when I first listened to podcasts, I would subscribe on my computer. New episodes would be downloaded to my computer, and then I would sync the new episodes to my iPod, and then I could listen to them while I was out and about. The day you have no idea how good you have it when you have an app on your phone that downloads the new podcast directly. It makes it so much easier to listen to podcasts. It was so much harder when I was a kid. I had to constantly sync with iTunes and keep it up to date, and it was very complicated. So that is what a podcast is. And the technology that powers it, you don't need to understand how the technology works, but you need to know what it's called. And it's called RSS. So RSS is what turns a good old-fashioned MP3 audio file into a podcast. And without an RSS feed, it's not a podcast.
All right. So let's start giving you some ideas on how you can create your own. And the thing we want to start with is picking a format. You have to pick which format you are going to podcast in. So let's just go through a few of those real quickly. First of all, you have to figure out, Thomas, you got something you want to say there?
I was just going to say, and when we say format, we're meaning the format of the show, not the format of the file. Like if you're going to use an MP3 or AAC file, we're not talking about that. Just use MP3s. We're talking about like how long your show is, that sort of thing.
Yes, yes. So first question is, how long do you want to make it? Some people make podcasts that are extremely long. Some make a podcast that are extremely short. So some of them will have a 3-minute podcast. Some people will go on for an hour. You need to decide which format is going to work for you and then stick to it. Thomas and I guess we kind of break our own rules sometimes because we have an idea in mind how long we'd like to have each podcast. And oftentimes they go over if we get on a really good topic and that kind of thing. So we're a little bit lenient on that. But one of the things I love about writing excuses, and sometimes they'll go over as well, but I love that they say every time, hey, 15 minutes, because you're busy and we're not that smart. I love that because I go, oh, I got 15 minutes. I know what to expect. So the first thing we'd suggest you do is choose how long your podcast is going to be.
In general, the sweet spot for a podcast is 15 to 20 minutes. That's how long a commute is. So that's what the podcast experts are going to recommend. And you'll notice that's what we shoot for in this podcast, about 20 minutes long. Although lately we've been going over. And if you don't like that, let us know if you feel that the podcasts are too long. In my experience, hardcore podcast listeners are less sensitive to how long a podcast is. They're more likely to listen at high speed. And so if you have a longer or shorter, that's not what's as important as being interesting. So it's better to have a 5-minute interesting podcast than a 10-minute boring podcast. And it's easier to be interesting for a short period of time than it is to hold someone's attention for an hour.
And let me just jump in real quick, Thomas, and you mentioned something that I think is important. I'm going to say probably 99% of you know this, but for the 1% who don't, you can speed up the podcast. I'm at the point where I listen to all the podcasts I enjoy. I listen to them on 2x speed because I can get through them quicker, and I've learned to listen to the voices and still get the content. I think, Thomas, sometimes you'll listen at 3x speed, will you?
Sometimes the app that I use right now has what's called smart speed. So it's 2x, but then it also cuts out all of the silences, which speeds it up even faster, but without actually speeding it up. So it's just a nonstop flow of words. So
nice. Okay.
I don't necessarily recommend that for everyone, but it's how I listen to podcasts. And it's how I'm able to listen to 30, 40 podcasts or be subscribed to 30, 40 podcasts. The next thing you need to decide when it comes to format is a topic mix. So for those of you who are novelists, which is most of our listeners, your topic is going to be more narrow. If you're writing nonfiction, you have a pretty broad option of topics, but typically something around the subject of your book or the subject of your books. And the easiest one is a question and answer format where people send in questions and you answer them related to your topic. Not that we would know anyone who does a format like that here at Novel Marketing. In terms of topic, if you're a novelist, I would recommend either reading your book and like doing your book as a serialized podcast, which I've seen be very successful. In fact, I know authors who've made it to the New York Times bestseller list by podcasting their book episode by episode or podcasting the rough draft. And the other way to do it is to have like a review of other books in your genre. So you have the fantasy, you know, if you write fantasy, you're reviewing fantasy books and you're bringing on fantasy authors to talk about their books. Remember, you want to attract the fans of reading your books, not the fans of writing your books. So the big temptation is to do a podcast on how to write novels. And that is not going to attract the right kind of fans if you're ultimately trying to use this podcast to sell books. Unless you're writing books on how to write books, then that's exactly the podcast you want.
And we won't go into this in a lot of detail because we've talked about this in the past, but topics can be the themes that are in your book. So you can riff on the themes for a long, long time about what's going on in your books and why you wrote that theme and why you think it's important, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right. The next thing in terms of format is to decide how many voices you're going to have. So for this podcast, it's typically two voices. You hear me and you hear Jim. We have the intro guy now, but he doesn't really count. Occasionally, we'll interview a guest, but we don't very often. We'll talk about why here in a little bit. So if you're a novelist, there's a much higher chance that it's just going to be you all by yourself as a solo voice. And that's fine. In some ways, that's less complicated. So like Jim and I, we're both very busy. And so we always have to find times when our calendars overlap across 2 time zones. And like that's a logistical complexity and challenge to doing the show that makes it harder. Now, there's both of us working on the show, which makes it easier. So there's no right answer here. There are very popular podcasts that are just a single voice and very popular podcasts that are half a dozen different voices.
Let's talk about intros, music beds, length of intros. As you have probably noticed, Thomas and I have started using an intro, but it took us a long time to decide if we wanted to do that or not, because that sets a different tone. And at this point, we're saying, yeah, we want to try it. We want to see if that's going to work. And so our friend Jeff put those together for us. We asked him to do it. And so thank you to Jeff Conwell for doing that for us. But you'll notice that our intro is not very long. We've listened to podcast intros that just go on and on and on. And the first time you hear it, it's like, oh my gosh, that's great. I love that. But the second and third and fourth time, you're skipping ahead. So our suggestion is make your intro and your outro shorter rather than longer. In the long run, and even in the short run, your listeners will appreciate that. The other thing, if you're working with a voice talent to do that, play with the music beds. Make sure it's a music bed that fits your format. You don't want to do a sleepy intro if your podcast is really exciting and vice versa.
Right. And with these intros and outros, another reason not to have them be too long is that some of the more advanced podcast subscribing apps can have you automatically, listeners automatically skip the first 30 seconds of a podcast. So there was a sports podcast that I listened to, and I set the app to skip the first 5 minutes, because for the first 5 minutes, they are just like chit-chatting about their personal lives, and I didn't care that much. And typically, the last minute or two of that, because they go on sometimes for 7 or 10 minutes before they'd actually start talking about sports. And I was like, that's too long of an intro. I don't care. And we, because of that experience that I had listening to that podcast, for a long time, we had no banter at all in the front of this show. And now we'll have maybe a minute, sometimes 2 minutes to talk about.
No, but we do. We try to keep it short. And it's fun because Thomas and I actually, outside of the show, are great friends. We really enjoy each other. And it's like, Thomas, we should do a little bit of that. But one of the podcasts I love is How Stuff Works. And Josh and Chuck, I mean, sometimes they'll go on for 4 minutes. It's like, and I find myself forwarding there. So, and I was talking to my son, Taylor, and I said, Taylor, man, does that bother you? He goes, no, I love that. I could have them go on like that for a long time. So it just depends on the tastes of how it works for you and the tastes of how it works for your listeners. So experiment with that a little bit.
And ultimately here, the only real rule in podcasting, like we're giving you lots of quote unquote rules, but there's only one real rule, and that is thrill your audience. And that unfortunately means that it can be very different depending on who your audience is. So you'll see two podcasts that have completely different formats because they're reaching completely different audiences. So for audiences where minutes are dollars and you've wasted 4 minutes of my time talking about your personal life, I hate that. Whereas in audiences that are more relational, they really want to hear that emotional connection. And so when it comes to rules, just because we tell you to do something, don't feel like you have to do that. Let thrilling your audience be your guiding light.
That's good. Thomas, let's move on to show formats, popular show formats that have proven themselves out to give people maybe a little bit of a menu of what their show format might look like.
Right. So the first one is the most popular in terms of listeners is the NPR documentary format. This is what Gimlet Media is based off of. These are highly produced. It's not uncommon for a 30-minute episode to have maybe 40 or 80 man hours of work go into that 30 minutes, sometimes hundreds of man hours of work. So there's a whole team working on the podcast. There's credits at the end. And there's a reason why Gimlet had to get venture funding in order to pursue this, because this is hard to do on your own. I do know people who are able to do a NPR documentary format. And so, in fact, there's a show called The Pitch that is basically Shark Tank, but for your ears. And it's a very similar format to Shark Tank. You got a bunch of venture capitalists in a room, and different entrepreneurs would come and pitch their businesses, and then he would edit it down and splice it together. And very, very clever show format. And he ended up being acquired by Gimlet because they liked it. But at first, he did it all on his own, or I think it was him and his wife who did this show. So that's the hardest format to do. Obviously, that's not what we do here. And if you're doing it on your own, that's probably not the one you want to pursue. The most common format that I see authors do is the interview format, where they just bring in guest after guest, and every show is interviewing a different person.
And that can work really well, because if you get interesting guests, my gosh, you're essentially just asking the questions. There's not a lot of prep time, a little bit of prep time to understand who your guest is, a little bit of prep time getting those guests. But that can be a very effective format, because they're providing most of the content.
That's right. It is a very saturated format. So while there are people who are successful with this format and have, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers, there are many more who have dozens of subscribers. And we have erred away from this format here on Novel Marketing, just because there's so many other, you know, podcasts for authors that just interview people all the time. And if you want to listen to interviews, you can go to those podcasts. That doesn't mean that we're not going to do interviews in the future, but we're very particular about how our guests sound. We want them to have good microphones and sound like they're in studio, and most authors aren't able to do that. So that's just our choice. We have a good friend, Mary DeMuth, and this is her show format. She has interviews with people of how their lives have been restoried. And she would probably say one advantage of that format is, one, it's less work, but two, you know, people tend to promote the episode that they're on, which means that it's a format that tends to promote itself. As you bring on people onto your podcast who are popular and have followings, they spread the word. Whereas for us, we have to rely more on our listeners to spread the word, which is a weakness of our show format. So I would call our format a focused discussion. We try to be focused on just one topic per episode. And this was going to be multiple episodes, and Jim was like, I don't know if people are that interested in podcasting. So I was like, okay, we'll do this as one episode. So we're focusing on podcasting, but we're doing a little bit longer one here, but we're not like rambling all around. And there are podcasts, and there are successful podcasts where two people just chit chat and ramble for an hour, hour and a half, and they have millions of subscribers. Hello Internet is probably the best example of that kind of podcast. Now, it helps that one of the guys is already a celebrity in his own right. The Bugle is another one that where I think both guys were celebrities in their own right, and they can get away with rambling more often. If you're not already popular, I would recommend staying more focused with your discussion.
Let's talk next about SoloScript, Thomas.
Yeah, so SoloScript is, this is another kind of element of formats. This is where you've written out your podcast word for word. And so these often tend to be very short. So Grammar Girl. It's a 5-7 minute podcast, and it's all explicitly written word for word, and she reads it. It's a very popular podcast. I imagine many of you listen to Grammar Girl. Most authors, I think, listen to Grammar Girl. It's 5 minutes. It will increase the quality of your grammar. It's a fun, believe it or not, it's a fun podcast on grammar. I know some of you don't believe me. Well, listen, tell me that I'm wrong.
I've meant to subscribe, Thomas. I'm one of those that I've meant to subscribe. I'm sure it's great.
Right. So one advantage of the SoloScript format is that each podcast also ends up being a very good blog post. So Grammar Girl now is ranking on Google for lots of grammar related search key phrases. As people ask, you know, should I use your or your, you know, she has a chance to rank for those phrases because her script doubles as her podcast. Blog. What we do is an outline, and we do post this online so that there's some keywords for Google to go through. We call it our show notes. And if you want to ever see the notes for an episode, you just go to novelmarketing.com/that episode number. So novelmarketing.com/1 will take you to episode 1. And we do it because we like to have links. So if we mention a website, we're not going to spell out amazon.com/ blah, blah, blah. We'll just say, go see it on our show notes. That's the link. So that's what we use. That's a little bit easier. Our outlines start off in Google Docs. And actually, Jim and I are both looking at the same Google Doc at the same time. And we can make live changes. So sometimes while I'm talking, Jim will be adding a point below my point. And I know, oh, Jim wants to say something here. I'll do the same.
And so let's camp on that just for a second. If you're not familiar with that, if you are doing a co-hosted thing, we highly encourage you to use that as one of your tools.
Right. We both see the same outline. Now, Jim and I, we have a very off the cuff. So we experimented with like, this is your bullet, Jim, and this is my bullet, Thomas. And that we ended up just kind of letting it go loosey-goosey has been easier for us. But Google Docs is a key piece of software for us, and it's free. I actually wrote my whole book in Google Docs. I'm a big fan of Google Docs and how it allows you to collaborate and insert comments and that sort of thing. The final format, and the one I suspect many of you novelists will want to experiment with, is what I call the single chapter format. This is where you do a serialized version of your book. And this is a very easy format from a producing perspective because you literally take your book, you hit record, you read chapter 1, you click stop, and you're done. So you can do some banter beforehand or afterwards, some announcements or whatever, but the core essence of it is you're reading your book. And Scott Sigler...
And if you're doing it... Oh, sorry, Thomas, yeah. Mention a couple of people who have been successful doing this.
Yeah, Scott Sigler is probably the most successful. He read his book, you know, and then he read book 2 and hit New York Times bestseller list. He's the guy to look at as like the king of the serialized story.
And you're going to be tempted when you do this to make it like you're recording an audiobook and go back and fix and try to reread and that kind of thing. Don't do that. Don't worry about doing that. If you make a mistake, just keep going, because you are presenting this as if it's a live conversation, even though it's recorded, with your audience. So it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to back up. It's okay to be, let's just say, real within the podcast.
And what Scott does is what he's reading in his serialized version is not the final version. He'll make changes to up to 10% of the text afterwards, often based off of the feedback that he's getting from his listeners. And apparently he works in his listeners' names. If he uses their feedback, they might be one of the corpses that he kills at one point or another in the book. So that's formats. Let's talk quickly about equipment. We'll have links to these if you want to buy these specific pieces of equipment. I'm a big fan of Audio Technica. They tend to be relatively low-priced equipment that is good quality. So it's not what you will see in like a $10,000 studio or a $100,000 studio, but you can get really solid equipment for a very reasonable price. So the microphone that I like for first-time podcasters is the Audio Technica AT2020 USB microphone. It's a good studio quality condenser microphone, but the advantage is that it can plug into your computer directly. So you don't have to pay for a mixer and all of the other parts of a setup. So if you're just wanting to put your toe in the water, it's a really great microphone to use. I use the Shure SM7B microphone, and then I've got a Behringer mixer that I use. So the Audio Technica, that's like $80, $100, and you're done. The setup that I have is closer to $500. So it's five times more expensive, and it's not five times higher quality. It's maybe 5% higher quality, maybe not even that. I like the Audio Technica ATH M20 headphones. So Jim and I both have headphones that cover up our ears so we don't have audio coming out of the headphones and back into the microphone, because that can reduce the quality. I also would spend $10 or $20 on a good arm that you like attach your microphone to, so that it's not in your way and you can hold your paper underneath the microphone. In terms of software, so that's the equipment that you plug into your computer before you hit record. What do you record in? We use Zencastr, and that's without an E in caster. It allows Jim and I to record each on our own computers, and then it mixes the audio. So if Jim's having internet issues or I'm having internet issues, those are less likely to affect the quality of the podcast. So
this is a big deal, because you will have glitches. You will be recording your best episode ever if you're doing it with a co-host, and things will go out. So having Zencastr eliminates a lot of those problems. And Thomas and I did it for years, literally, using only Skype. And we moved to Zencastr, 6 months ago, Thomas, I would say? And we have loved doing that.
That's right. It hasn't solved our technical issues, and you can hear occasionally there's still issues, so it's not perfect. But it has solved the internet-related ones.
Right.
So we're thankful for that. What we used before is Call Recorder for Skype. Call Recorder for Skype, it's a Mac app, and it allows you to record Skype conversations. But we get better quality with Zencastr.
And then, the other thing we do, just to continue talking about Skype for a second, is Thomas and I right now, we are on Skype, and we are seeing each other. So we can see facial expressions. We can send each other messages if we need to. And so that helps us as well. We mute our microphone on Skype, so we're only getting the Zencastr recording. But having the visual is, I think, an important part of doing the podcast.
That's right. It allows us to raise our hand if the other guy's going on too long, which Jim does from time to time because I tend to ramble. Reined in. If you're doing it just by yourself, though, you don't need to use those. You just want to record on your computer. Most podcasters use free software called Audacity. I use GarageBand. It comes with the Mac. It's what I prefer. It's what I'm familiar with. GarageBand used to have lots of really cool podcast features. Many of those have gone away, so GarageBand is not as podcast friendly as it used to be. So if you're just getting started, you might as well start in Audacity. But both, I know podcasters who use both, and if you're ready for, there are professional expensive options, but if you're just getting started, I'd start with Audacity. So now you've, let's say you've made your first episode or your first few episodes. You've got the MP3 files on your computer. You've done as much editing as you're going to do. Now what? How do you turn those MP3s into a podcast? Well, there's the easy way and the hard way. We here at Novel Marketing do things the hard way, partly because we did this back in the day when the hard way was really the only option. There are still some advantages of the hard way. And one is that we have a lot more control over the podcast and we can change out all of the various constituent pieces without interrupting your podcast experience. So we can upgrade and make changes. So we're not locked in to a certain vendor. The easy way tends to lock you in more. It's harder to move away. So which means picking a good vendor at the beginning is harder. So the easy way is to go on a site like buzzsprout.com or pippa.io or SoundCloud or Libsyn or Blueberry. Those are the big players. And
Thomas?
Yes.
Let's, for those who say, I'm not going to go to the show notes, could you just run through those real quickly again in case people want to take notes on that?
Yeah, you really need to go to the show notes, though, people. Go to our website. So the challenge is these are all spelled weird. The only one that's spelled normally is Buzzsprout. Libsyn is Libsyn. Pippa, Pippa.io. SoundCloud, I guess it's spelled the normal way. And Blueberry, I don't remember exactly how it's spelled. I think it's blue and then B-R-R-Y. But again, we'll have the links in the show notes. Each one of these tools will create the RSS feed for you and handle most of the technical pieces for you. That's not what we do. We use WordPress. So our podcast feed lives on WordPress on novelmarketing.com. And the files, though, are hosted on Libsyn. So we pay for one of these services, and one of the older ones, Libsyn, which is not what I would use probably if I started. Libsyn has got really old technology. They haven't really upgraded anything in the last... Well, they haven't really changed anything since we started using them 5 years ago. So pippa.io looks to be much slicker, and that's the one I'm leaning towards using for my new podcast. But I am going to be using WordPress as well. So the nice thing about WordPress is that you have a blog companion to your podcast that things like your show notes can live. So the fact that you can go to novelmarketing/102 and see these links wouldn't be possible as easily if we weren't also using WordPress as a companion for the podcast. So what these services do is they generate the feed that is what your podcast feed lives on. Now we then take our feed and we burn it on FeedBurner. And the FeedBurner feed is what ultimately goes to iTunes. I realize that's pretty technical. This is an optional step. But the benefit of FeedBurner is it gives us some stats on subscribers. Now, again, if you're using one of these new services, you may not need FeedBurner because those new services may give you good stats on subscribers. Libsyn will tell us how many downloads we get on a specific episode. I don't know if it gives feed stats. But I'm hesitant to have the feed that lives in iTunes be a feed that's tied to one of these proprietary services. I like it to be owned by something that I know is permanent. And the benefit of FeedBurner is that it's owned by Google. It's free. It's never going to go away. Google's never going to turn it off and break half the internet. As much as people would like you to think that it is, that's not going to happen. Their competitors want it to happen. It's not going to happen. The final step, once you've got your RSS, you've uploaded your MP3s to Pippa or SoundCloud, you then take the feed. It'll give you a little iTunes feed, and you take that feed and you submit it to the iTunes podcast directory in the Google Play podcast directory. One more thing I forgot to mention is that there's some podcasting plugins if you do want to use WordPress.
Let's talk real briefly about common mistakes that we made and we've seen other people make. And the first one is going too long. It's that old show business adage, always leave the audience wanting more. That is a much better mistake than to give the audience everything they want and much more than that. So you're better to do two episodes or even cut the content down in your episode than go too long. The second thing is, and Thomas and I have caught ourselves on this, but a number of times we have interviewed people and we've looked at each other after the interview and just gone, wow, they were really boring. Should we put this up or shouldn't we? And we've made the decision usually to say, you know what, either we're going to cut it down really short to just some interesting sound bites, or we're not going to air that interview. So if you are interviewing somebody, you might want to put the caveat in is not sure when this is going to air, or don't promise them it's going to air on a certain date or air at all, because you don't want the embarrassing thing about going back to them and saying, you know what, you were too boring to put on the air.
There are whole topics that we have not been able to talk about because Jim and I are not experts on those topics, and we have not been able to find an expert who's not terribly boring on those topics. And we have done at least one entire interview with an expert, and it was like, you should be more interesting than this. But not everyone knows how to give a good interview. So poor quality audio is another common mistake. So be careful with that. And if you're following the tips that we are giving you and you find a quiet place to record, you shouldn't have this issue. And another thing I just want to tell you, podcasts are always terrible at first. If you go back and listen to our first 5 episodes, they're awful. In fact, Jim and I keep talking about re-recording some of those initial episodes, because I think episode 1, we talked, and after 5 minutes, we ran out of things to say. And it was on like a huge topic. And so we may go back and re-record those. It's very common if you go to a podcast that you like and you try to find episode 1, you won't be able to find it. Most podcasts, once they find their rhythm, they go back and delete the early ones, trying to make their early amateurish experience go away. So just keep that in mind. Cut yourself some slack. It is a learning experience. And finally, another great reason to do podcasting is it's great preparation. It helps you clarify your thinking. It makes you more interviewable on television, on radio, and it can really help take your platform to the next level.
Definitely.
So our sponsor today is the Rubart Writing Academy. What is this, Jim?
Yeah, so some of you who are familiar with Randy Ingermanson and subscribe to his newsletter have heard about this. We did a soft launch just a few weeks ago. And what the Rubart Writing Academy is, it's a partnership between myself and my son, Taylor. Essentially what happened is Taylor came to me and he said, Dad, you just won the Christie Book of the Year and you won the ACFW Mentor of the Year. When are you going to teach people how to become a best-selling, award-winning author the way you did it? Because I did it, and you know the average is 10 years. I did it in 4. Taylor goes, that's valuable to people. When are you going to do this? And so I said, all right, Taylor, let's start talking about this. So we developed this Rubart Writing Academy, and it's going to be this October, the 19th through the 22nd. 4 days. It's going to be in Lake Chelan, which is stunningly gorgeous that time of the year. And essentially, we're going to teach the 4 pillars of publication. And I won't go on and on and on about this, but I think this could be a life changer for those of you who are just frustrated. You haven't gotten published yet, or your book hasn't broken out. And I'm essentially going to take you through the exact methods that I use to become a best-selling, award-winning author. So without further ado, the website is rubartwritingacademy.com. And you can go there and find out more information on it. And even if you just go there and give me your email address, you'll get a free PDF that I've created, how to create compelling characters. So yeah, go check it out. See if it's something that would work for you. Would love to have some of you come out and spend 4 days with me.
Yeah, in the real world, in what we nerds like to call meat space as opposed to cyberspace.
That's right.
So we got a really nice note from somebody who took our 5-year plan. Jim, what was that?
So Ray Karras, I'm not sure if I'm saying the name right, but she wrote in and said, not a question, just a thank you. I purchased your 5-year plan because after years of writing just for fun, I want to actually write and sell a novel. Your course and the materials recommended are excellent. I'm already becoming a better writer. Thanks for creating the course. So Ray Karras, we say thank you for taking the course. And I love the fact that she has said, yeah, it was just kind of a hobby for a while and having fun with it, but I'm ready to take the next step and become a professional.
And we would have responded to you in person, but we didn't get your email address. So we figured the only way to say hi was over the podcast. So you got your shout out. You've been listening to James L. Rubart and Thomas Umstadt Jr. on the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to promote yourself and your writing offline, online, and everywhere in between. Thanks for listening.